Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this brand new morning where your mercies are new, where your compassions never fail. And Father, we just invite you here. God, just bless this time as we learn about your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." To give you some background, what's going on is that in Psalm 126, these are songs that are sung, and the Israelites have been released from captivity from the Babylonians. And so now you can imagine sort of their joy that comes from within. From being released and being able to go home. I mean, it's emotionally a very emotional experience, a very powerful, overwhelming experience. The one thing that I can sort of maybe think that it might be similar to is someone going away on military deployment to a battlefield and now is able to come home to see his family, his children, his spouse, things like that. It's that kind of feeling of just enjoying this new freedom, being reunited with family, and now beginning a new life together. And so now we have this song that the Lord brought back in verse 1, the captive ones of Zion. We were like those who dreamed. They dreamt that this would happen one day, and many of us have dreams that you know, whether it be to have a family or to get married or a job, or, you know, you picture what your life will be like. And so, you know, you have this dream, and now it's finally walking into that dream and actually living out that dream. It's quite an exciting sort of time. And so the psalmist is saying, we're like those who dream. And if you think of the emotional state of when you're dreaming, what that's like, that's what's happening. Verse 2. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." And he repeats it again, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." So from verses 1 to 3, you have a reflection back on the release. But now verses 4 through 6, you're going to have this anticipation looking forward. 1 through 3 is a reflection of the release of them. Now 4 through 6 is now looking forward to the harvest and restoration. And you have a theme here throughout this whole psalm of joy. Our mouths are filled with laughter, tongue with joyful shouting. You know, this is an experience of, you know, like in a football game, soccer match, scoring a goal and just, you know, this sort of barbaric shout of like, ah, you know, in the stands and people in the crowd and the fans, you know, just this barbaric, ah, you know, just this, you know, out of joy, you know, and this is the release, and this is the feeling. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with a joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." A victory that is happening. And so you have this theme. As a Christian, if I can make an aside, as a Christian, we are marked with this joy. And this joy comes from knowing that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins and that we don't have to experience the punishment, eternal punishment that our sins deserve. And so we have this joy that marks us as Christians. And so for us, our mouths are filled with laughter also. This, you know, praise the Lord has done great things. As a Christian, we're not to be, you know, serious all the time. It doesn't mean that we're always smiling. Obviously, Ecclesiastes says that there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. But there's this joy that needs to come within us that marks us because of Christ. And I think joy is misunderstood. We think that joy is the absence of sorrow. Joy is not the absence of sorrow. It's the ability, joy is the ability to have faith and to be thankful in the midst of sorrow. In the midst of sorrow, in the midst of conditions and circumstances, joy is the outcome of your Christian life. And the thing about joy is that we can't generate joy, right? If I tell you, be joyful right now, you know, we could try to like muster up and generate it inside ourselves, but genuine joy is not something that you can generate from yourself. God provides that joy. God is the source of that joy. You know, people try to attain joy through different means, through entertainment, you know, through alcohol, through relationships, you know, and this joy is artificial, and it's just temporary. And so many of us act like we're bored and we need this entertainment to fill us with joy and laughter. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be entertained. I'm not saying it's wrong to enjoy entertainment. But it's foolish to think that we can generate joy from entertainment. Joy isn't a commodity that you can purchase or look for or grab. And many of us who are struggling with a lack of joy, this is what we try to do. We try to find joy. We try to go get joy. We try to produce joy. But joy doesn't come from any of those things. A lot of us, because of our stressful lives, we need a distraction. And so we look for those things. But we don't need a distraction from our stressful lives. What we need is a cure from this lack of joy. And the only cure to have joy comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our need for joy is legitimate, but how we get it is not, how we meet that requirement is not often legitimate. And so here in Psalm 126, it talks about a past joy, a present joy, and a future joy. We're filled with laughter, songs of joy, we're filled with joy, and we will return in verse 6. We will indeed come again with shouts of joy. The psalmist deliberately says that it is the Lord who has brought us back, the captive ones of Zion, in verse 1. It's the Lord. History will tell us that it's King Cyrus of Persia in 538 BC that he signs the edict to release the Jews. But in Proverbs we're told the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. So humanly speaking, you know, the Persian king allows Israel to return, but we know and that it's all part of God's plan, and so the psalmist gives credit where credit is due. Eugene Peterson, the author and pastor, writes that joy has a history. Joy is verified. It's repeated experience of those involved in what God is doing. That joy has a history, that if you look back through your life, there's history of joy, there's evidence of joy, that it's repeated, that these experiences are repeated, and it's always involved with God, what God is doing in our lives. So joy is there for you if you recognize it. Joy is nurtured by living in such a history, by building on such a foundation. And so for us, we have to realize that joy comes from being released by the bondage or penalty of our sin. Other world religions, they have rules. But none offers a means of forgiveness when the rules are broken. Right? In other religions, they have all these rules, but when those rules are broken, there's no means of forgiveness or grace, that you suffer the consequences of breaking those rules in other religions. But we can look back as Christians that our sins are now disqualified or nullified by Christ. And so when the rules are broken, we still have Christ and we still have a way for eternal life. And that experience ought to give us this idea of joy. When something good happens to us, right? When we receive gifts or when we receive good news and things like that, we are automatically filled with joy. We're like, yes, praise God. You know, maybe shouts of joyful shouting. Our mouths are filled with laughter, things like that. That is also true because we can look back at our sins and know that they're disqualified by Christ, and we can discover this joy. And so now we go to verses 4 to 6. And one reason for rejoicing is that we can know that God's faithfulness, in other words, he doesn't change, will always be with us. That God's system isn't going to change. He's not going to change. He's always going to love us. He's always going to provide for us. He's always going to be gracious to us. And so verse 4 talks about restore our captivity, O Lord. This restore means restore the nation's fortunes. And some restoration has already occurred, but I think the analogy is that the fuller measure is desired. And so in verse 4 he says, as streams in the south, or the Negev in different translations. He asks that this land would be restored like the streams of the Negev. The Negev, or the south, is desert land, and its actual name means dry. And then there's these waterways called wadis, and they're bone dry most of the year. But in rainy season, this barren land is totally transformed. So it's very dramatic that the land is dry for most of the year, but then there's this rainy season. It's like famine and drought, and then there's this rainy season, and the wadis, the rivers, the streams, they fill with rain, and then this desert begins to bloom with vegetation and flowers. So the people have a very visual picture of the land, of what happens to the land. Very dry, cracked, desert land, and then the rains come, and then blooms incredible flowers and vegetation and just incredible lush areas near these wadis, these rivers. And so the prayer is, look, just like you do that to the land, do that to our souls, do that to our nation, do that, restore our land again. And the Lord will restore this land, and he'll also do that for us, that during our droughts and during our deserts, he's going to bring the rain for us. And so now the Jews are allowed to return into Babylon, and they're allowed to renew the pattern of their former life. And in verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap with joy, songs of joy. This sow in tears is sort of a reference to death. It's a common way to refer to burial. And this should encourage us as believers that those who sow in tears will reap with joy. Those who sow in tears. So those who are broken, those who are defeated, those who are going through the most difficult times, and your tears, just like in a literal sense, water blossoming the flowers, watering, nurturing the flowers. What will happen with that water? Your flowers will grow and bloom. Your tears will reap with joy. And so that phrase describes death. And Jesus describes that also in John 12, where he talks about a seed buried into the ground will sprout new life. And so as believers, the grave and death and destruction is not the final word. And therefore, we can rejoice because we know in the face of death that we have hope of restoration, that we have hope of the promise of eternal life, that as Christians, we can rejoice because we know that what we're going through is not the end. It is not final, that there is going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a restoration. There's going to be a new life. And I think that's why when Jesus says in Matthew 5, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so this release of the Israelites from Babylon is like being raised from death into life. Verse 6 reassures us that those that weep will rejoice again. And he gives this final image of the harvest time. Sheaves are bundles of grain, usually of wheat or barley. They're cut and they're gathered together. And the harvest time for these people in this ancient time, the harvest time is the most joyful, sort of the highlight of the year. It was a time of great blessing. It's another visual representation of a highlight of their life, something to look forward to. And so when it talks about harvest, they get excited because they know that they've been waiting all year for this one season for the grain and for great blessing and food and abundance and prosperity. And so they know that their prayer and that God will provide the harvest. Joy is essential to our lives, and experiencing this is easy if we know that we are loved by the King and that nothing in this world can take that away. And often we experience joy or find joy in the midst of sorrow. During the most painful times, we become aware of the spiritual reality that God is bigger than ourselves and he enables hope. Henry Nouwen writes, my grief was a place where I found my joy. And so we may undergo hardship, but God will always have the last word. We may feel defeated now, but those who sow in tears will reap shouts of joy. God will have the last word. This means that we can rejoice even when our desires and our wishes are not realized right now. Once again, the biblical principle of joy is that it's not an absence of sorrow. It's not an absence of sorrow. We feel like, foolishly think we can achieve joy by eliminating the things that hurt us. We are experts in constructing these futile strategies of achieving joy. But true joy enables us to face our reality. Let me say that again. True joy from Christ enables us to face our reality. Because we do so with the assurance that God is working in our lives, even the things that cause us pain, to produce His perfect and pleasing will. Joy doesn't come from something we can manufacture. We can't find joy. We can't grab joy. Joy comes from Christ. Joy comes from knowing that through our realities, through our circumstances, that we have the assurance that God has a plan for us. We have assurance of His character and His attributes, that God is faithful. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. This is where we have joy, that no matter what's in front of us, no matter what obstacles we're facing, true joy says, yes, we are defeated now, but Jesus will reign, that Jesus will be victorious, that even though I go through persecution at work, that Jesus will be victorious, that Jesus will have vengeance, that Jesus will have revenge, that Jesus will sustain us, that Jesus is our provider, that Jesus is who He says He is, will do what He says He does. And so we can rejoice in that. I look at the life of Apostle Paul, if we could have Jeff come up for worship. I look at the Apostle Paul and all of the suffering that he went through. Yet he constantly says, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice. And you look at Paul's life, and that's not a life that I would desire for myself, because it is filled with suffering or pain. But in the end, his words are true. When he says rejoice, is because Christ has won. And that in Christ, that we have won, and that we are victorious. And ultimately, even if our circumstances kill us, even if our circumstances lead us to despair, we have this one and great glory and one hope, that we don't have to suffer eternal punishment. See, because our lives in the scheme of eternity is just a mist, it's such a short time, that for the rest of eternity, for the rest of our lives, we can rejoice and live with our King and with our God. And so I want us to meditate on that. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you are captive to your thoughts. Maybe you're captive to your circumstances. Maybe you're suffering through disappointment and despair. But realize that in the scope of eternity, it is such a short time. And this too will also pass in your lives. Hold on to Christ. Hold on to His faithfulness. Hold on to His resurrection power. Hold on to the hope that He can do all things, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hold on to Christ. And may you be filled with joy in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your circumstance. May you hold on to the joy of salvation. May the joy of your salvation be your strength today. God is at work. God is at work behind the scenes. God has a plan for you, and He is alive. Let's worship together as we sing the song.
Surely it would have drowned me, but
Joy in my life, and I imagine that we need more joy in our lives. And it's not dependent upon our circumstances or what we're going through, but it comes from Christ. The closer you are to Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes out joy. My prayer is that we'd be filled with His presence and His Spirit today, that we'd be filled with joy, even in the midst of stress, even in the midst of hardships, in the midst of relationships, that we can find the security in Christ that fills us with joy. And even in the midst of sickness, and even in the midst of illness, we can be filled with joy because we know that God is with them, that God loves them. And so let's pray for those who are sick with cancer, and we've been faithfully praying for them. And let's ask the Lord to fill them with joy. Let's ask the Lord to heal. And let's ask the Lord to be with their families and extend grace. And so let's pray for those on the list with cancer, but also those who, also family and loved ones that you know that are struggling with cancer. And so let's pray for them right now. Thank you. pray for the salvation of those, that they would experience the joy of the Lord, that they would experience Christ. And so let's pray for healing as they go through cancer, but let's pray for their salvation. And they're going through a long, difficult process, but let's ask the Lord that as they come out of it through healing, that they would experience incredible joy. Let's pray. With other illnesses and sicknesses, let's ask the Lord that through their sickness that they would hold on to Christ. And some of them have been enduring a very long time, and so let's ask the Lord to fill them with joy despite their illness. Let's pray for healing over them. Let's cover them. Pray for those who are looking for jobs and ask the Lord to open doors for them. Let's pray for interviews and let's ask the Lord to give them joy through this time. For the Lord has orchestrated the path of their lives, and so let's ask the Lord to reveal to them that God is with them. And so let's pray for them now. Mission focus this morning, and let's lift up Cambodia. Let's lift up Grace and Ashley at Bloom and the work that they're doing with the girls there. Let's pray for Pastor Owen, Pastor Tang, and let's ask the Lord to bless Cambodia, and that there will be revival there, and that there will be leaders there. And let's pray for our servants in Cambodia right now. Let's lift them up in prayer. Lift up the board of directors as they make decisions. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for the Spirit to speak to them. Let's ask the Lord to bless their families, and let's ask the Lord to give them direction and guidance. And so let's pray for the board as there's lots of potential changes that could happen. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for protection against the attacks of the enemy, and let's cover them in prayer right now. Thank you. pray for men's and women's ministries, and that the Lord would really speak to the men and women about who their identity in Christ and who they are, that men and women would be lifted through the men's and women's ministries. So let's pray for our men's and women's ministries right now. Pray for SP 2.0, as you know, that we are in need of more space, and so this has always been a temporary place until the Lord provides our a new building and a new space for us. And let's pray for a donor that's been prophesied, that that God would prepare that donor to be able to generously give to this new building. And so let's pray through our new building, and let's lift that up right now. Pray for our house churches meeting today, and let's ask the Lord to bless those groups, that they would share and serve one another as they talk about Sunday service. And let's ask the Lord to bless these communities, that they would be a biblical community. And so let's cover them in prayer. Pray for one more thing. Our India short-term mission team is leaving tomorrow, and so let's cover them as much as we can in prayer. Ask for protection as they travel. It's going to be a very rigorous trip and a lot of unknown things. So let's pray for Jamie Donaldson, who's leading it, and the rest of the team, and ask the Lord to protect and bless them in India as they share the gospel to hundreds of kids in India. So let's lift them up right now. Teach us and help us to experience joy in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our situations, God, in the midst of those things, God. Help us and remind us, God, that you have saved us, that you have given us new life, that we are so grateful for that. And God, when we think that we can spend all eternity with you, God, our current present-day sufferings are nothing compared to the glory and the resurrection power of Christ. And God, we are thankful for that. We rejoice in that, God. So Lord, I pray, God, that your spirit of joy would go forth today in our workplaces and in our families and wherever we are today. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful day. I pray blessings over you. May you experience his joy, and encourage you to stay and pray and seek the Lord, and invite the Holy Spirit to fill you as you go on with your day. We'll see you tomorrow.